was told there would be a good number of children here. I see 5 plus a little one over there. So, you two? I don't know your names. What's your name?
Vitanju.
Your name? Prahlad. That's a nice name. You're very fortunate. So, you 5 are the star of the show tonight. You ready? We're going to describe some pastimes of Krishna. And I'm going to give you some quiz questions at the end. You ready for some quiz questions at the end? Okay. I can tell you right now what the first quiz question is going to be. Would you like to know the question and then the answer? A little responsiveness here, please. I'm trying to connect. Okay, got it. Good, very good. First quiz question is going to be, what's the meaning of Bhakta Vatsala? I didn't give you the answer yet, but I'll give you the answer. But that's the first question. Do any of you know the answer? Bhakta Vatsala? Meaning? Okay. You can get your notebooks out or your good memory out, and I'll tell you what the answer is. Huh? Is it one of Krishna's qualities? And one of Krishna's qualities is that he has great affection for his devotee. He's the dearmost friend of his devotee. He gives every kind of help. And Krishna's all powerful. So for those who are his bhaktas, Krishna is the bhakta vatsala. He's the dearmost friend. Here's one verse where this term Bhakta Vatsala comes. It's in the first canto, chapter 14. Where the verse comes is Yudhishthira speaking to Arjuna. After Yudhishthira Maharaj was installed on the throne, the Kurukshetra battle is over. Maharaj Yudhishthira becomes the king. Bhishma Dev leaves his body. Bhishma Dev passes. Krishna is ready to go back to Dwarka. Kunti comes, says Kunti's prayers. Krishna leaves, and he goes back to Dwarka. And when Krishna goes back to Dwarka, Arjuna is sent with Krishna to accompany him back to Dwarka. Royal escort back to Dwarka. And Arjuna doesn't come back for a long time. So long that the Pandavas intuitively, they know that Krishna left. His pastimes are finished and Krishna's gone. But they didn't want to say it. They didn't even want to think it, but they knew it. Finally, Arjuna came back. That's this chapter. And Yudhishthira is asking Arjuna about the residents of Dwarka and Krishna, and how is everything in Dwarka? So this is the verse. Yudhishthira speaking to Arjuna as the context. Is Lord Krishna, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives pleasure to the cows, Govinda, and the Brahmanas, Brahmanyo, who is very affectionate towards his devotees. That's Bhakta Vatsala. Kachit pare sudharmayam sukham aste suridvrataha. Is Lord Krishna enjoying in the pious assembly at Dwarkapuri, surrounded by his dear friends? Sukham aste suridvrataha. So we know one of the names of Krishna is Bhagavan, because he's the speaker of Bhagavad Gita, and every verse is Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. where Krishna is speaking. So he's also known as Bhagavan. We also know that Krishna is known as Govinda. Right? Radha Govinda. Because he's one who gives pleasure to the cows and to the senses. One of our prayers, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagatitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So that's another name of Krishna. Brahmanyo, he's very kind to the Brahmanas. But here's another name that you just learned today, and I'm going to ask you at the end when the quiz questions come. And I might also ask you, what are the other three names? But for sure I'm going to ask you, what does Bhaktivatsala mean? One who is very affectionate towards his devotees. There's a well-known verse. Maybe I could ask you the verse where Krishna says the reasons that he appears in this world. You know that verse? Chapter 4? Your sister knows. Maybe you know too.
No? Can you say the first verse again?
Sure, I can give you two of them. Pritranaya. You know that one? Sadhunam inashaya shaduskritam dharma samstapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. What's the meaning? I don't know.
Further, there's the tie-in religion.
Yeah. Okay, there's two other things. When there's a decline in religion, that's different. Yada yudahi dharma shakalani or bhavati bharata. That's that one. Pritranaya, what does sadhu mean? Sadhu. Saintly person. Right? Pritranaya sadhunam. Krishna comes to give. He delivers. He gives protection to the sadhus. Vinashaya cha duskritam. Duskriti means? Bad. People that misuse their kriti, their merit, and they use it for destructive purposes. That's their duskritis. Vinash. Krishna annihilates the demons. And dharma, sansta panartaya. He reestablishes dharma. When dharma is broken, he reestablishes dharma. So, those are reasons given by Krishna. What are circumstances when he appears? But our acharyas say Krishna can do all those three things with someone else doing them. He can do them remotely. Someone else can come and vinash the duskritas, and he can give protection to the devotees. And he can establish, someone else, he deputes, can establish principles of dharma. So factually, Krishna comes because he's affectionate to his devotees. He wants to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. They're feeling separation from him, so he comes. And when Krishna comes, he doesn't come alone. If we say, the king is coming, the king is coming, does it mean down a little corridor or street, here comes the king walking alone? Comes to this whole entourage. All the military and ministers and all with all pomp and splendor. Here comes the king. The king is coming. Similarly, when Krishna comes, the whole spiritual world descends with Krishna. So the river Jamuna and the cows and the peacocks and the whole land of Vrindavan comes with Krishna. And so that means with Krishna comes all of his devotees. But there are sometimes there's devotees in this world for whom Krishna comes to descend to give his association to them also, along with his whole abode, to attract their hearts and minds and to pacify their hankering for their loving exchange with him. So when he comes, he shows this quality of his coming is demonstrating his quality of bhakta vatsala, and the exchanges he has demonstrates his quality of bhakta vatsala. And there's many, many such pastimes, and I'm going to share with you some of them. There's the verse, Pritranaya Sadhana Vinashaya Chuduskritam. Those are the reasons. Do you know the verse? You can say the whole verse without looking at it? Go ahead, try it. Okay. How about either of you two? No? Do you know the verse? Go ahead, say it. Fantastic. Where'd you learn that one? You can't remember where you learned it, but you learned it. Did you teach him?
Actually, if you go to the Gopalaswami school, there you learn.
Okay. Did you learn it also? Your friend next to you? Can I hear? Fantastic. So those are three reasons why Krishna comes, but he actually comes because he wants to give his affectionate, loving exchanges with his devotees, just like when Krishna appears. When he appears in the prison house of Kamsa, he says to Vasudeva and Devaki that I've appeared because you underwent great austerities three lifetimes ago as Sutapa and Prishni, and so I appear to you in this very same form, and I told you that for three lifetimes I will appear as your son, but you wanted a son like me. And there really isn't anyone like me. I'm one of a kind. It's only me. So I appear to like me as Prishnigarbha. In that same lifetime as Sutapa and Prishni, and then your very next lifetime as Kardama, Muni, and Aditi, I appeared as Vamanadeva. Vamanadeva. That would be a good quiz question. Who were the three appearances of Krishna? Or two before he appeared as Krishna. Vishnigarbha and Vamanadeva. And then as now here as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, I've appeared in the same original form just so that you know I'm not just your son. I'm the personality of Godhead because you desired a son like me. I've come as your son. But so that you would know it's not just your son. It's the personality of Godhead. Then Vasudeva and Devaki offered their prayers. Devaki requested that that Krishna assume a childlike form because she had parental affection. But she gave a different reason. Her reason was, as soon as Kamsa comes to know that you've been born, the eighth child of Devaki has been born, he'll come and he'll try to kill you. And if you assume a little baby form, maybe we can hide you somewhere in the prison cell. Let me ask you, does that sound rational? He's the personality of Godhead. Look at that chakra, look at that gada. Smash, Kamsa's finished. He's all-powerful, supreme. But it's because of her motherly affection, her parental affection, her vatsalya rasa. She gave this very irrational love. If you're a little baby, well, how can you hide a baby in a prison cell? It's another irrational. And how's that going to give protection? But in any case, she asks. So Krishna agreed and said, but before I assume this little baby-like form, or after I do, you take me out of the prison to the other side of the river Jamuna and place me by the side of Yashoda, who has just given birth to a female child. And then you bring the female child back into the prison. Don't worry, everything will be, will go very nicely. So Krishna appeared as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki because he's Bhakta Vatsala, to reciprocate with their love. And he's the Supreme Lord. Why does he have to appear in a prison house? He says, Leela, you can appear wherever he likes, however he likes. For their satisfaction. So this is another very dramatic painting, and the reciprocation between Bhishma Dev and Krishna, where Bhishma Dev wanted Krishna to show his quality of Bhakta Vatsala. So let's see, between you five scholars here, what can you say about Grandfather Bhishma? Some information, some understanding about who was Grandfather Bhishma. Anything? You're getting some prompt from your father. You must know something. What is the meaning of his name, Bhishma? What is Bhishma known for? He took a very strong vow. Bhishma. What was, he took two vows. What were those two vows? Yes. He would never marry, and he would never become king. Do you know the story behind that one? Should I narrate it? Grandfather Bhishma. Grandfather Bhishma, he was the son of Maharaj Santanu and Ganga Devi herself. That was a very interesting arrangement. Ganga Devi one time was the river Ganga personified, was attending an assembly in Brahmaloka. Also in attendance at that assembly in Brahmaloka was an earthly king who had gone to Vaikuntha because he had perfected his life, or had become very, very qualified. This is a Mahabharata story. He became very qualified, so he entered into the upper planetary realm. And he was also in the assembly. And it was so celestially fantastic, fabulous, and opulent in Brahmaloka that during part of the assembly's gathering, a soft breeze was blowing, and part of the clothing of Ganga was blowing in the wind, exposing part of her body, and the king was staring at her. And Ganga returned the glance, and Brahma picked up on it. So he cursed Ganga and the king that you have to take birth on earth as a human being. That was a curse. And Ganga pleaded, please give the lighter sentence. Please give some mitigation of this curse. He said, very well. You will stay there until all eight of the Vasus take birth from you. And as soon as they die, then you can return. Now, who are the Vasus? So Bhishma Dev is one of the Vasus. And who are the Vasus? It's described that there are 33 million demigods. You've heard that before? How many demigods? 33 million. That's a lot. So when you start to count all the demigods that you're aware of, who are they? Indra, god of rain. Chandra, god of the moon. Vayu, wind. Ocean, Varuna. Fire, Agni. Sun, Surya. Then, you know, maybe some others you can think of the names of, but that's not 33 million. So what's the 33 million? As described in the Bhagavatam, there are three categories of demigods and then subcategories of those categories. One, there are the sons of Aditi. Not all the sons of Aditi, because like Vamana is one of the sons of Aditi. But the sons of Aditi, that's one category. And the Rudras, they're expansions of Lord Shiva for the purpose of universal destruction. And then there's the Vasus. And the Vasus are very, very powerful. They're like protectors of the realm of the demigods. So that they were cursed was really strong. Well, actually, they were to take birth as the sons of Ganga and then return to their post as Vasus. So Ganga appeared on earth. And Santanu was in that same line as the king that had not been very proper in his dealings with, staring at Mother Ganga. So Santanu had taken his birth, with some detail. But Santanu was, one day he was Ganga was moving about the planet Earth. She saw one king. The king was in the forest meditating. She became attracted to the king. I forget his name. She sat down on his right leg. And he said, this indicates where the daughter-in-law sits. My son, who will be born of me later, you will be married to him. And that was Santanu. But one day Santanu was in the forest hunting and he saw Ganga. And he had never seen such a beautiful female ever before. And he was fascinated, attracted, and mesmerized. And he approached her and said, "Who are you? You would make a wonderful queen. Would you be willing to be my queen? I don't have a queen." And she agreed on one condition. That's a great condition for ladies that agree to get married. She said, "You never say anything that will be disagreeable to me. On that one condition, then I'll marry you." So he said yes. And they became married. After some time, a son was born. And as soon as the son was born, Ganga picked up the son, went to the river, and threw the child in the river. So he couldn't say anything because she would go away. And this happened 7 sons in a row. When the 8th son was born, he stopped her and said, "Don't do this." "Okay, that's it. That you promised. Never say anything against what I want to do, so I'm leaving." And she took the son. And for 34 years, she and Vasishtha trained the son. And he received transcendental knowledge and all qualification. And he came back, Ganga. The king found him in the forest one day. Deva Vrata was his name. That's what the name Ganga gave. "So, you're my father." "Yes. You're my son, so you come back to the kingdom." So, Deva Vrata came back to the kingdom. And then, one fine day, the king, Santanu, wanted to cross the river, so he got in a boat. Cross the river, and the boat man was a woman. It was a very beautiful woman. And he became very attracted to the very beautiful woman, Satyavati. So he didn't say anything to Satyavati, but he found out who was Satyavati's father, and he went to propose marriage. "I'm the king, and you're a fisherman. may I marry your daughter? And the fisherman said, no. She said, why not? I'm the king. And the fisherman said, my daughter has received a benediction from Parashar Muni that her son would become king. But you already have a son, Devavrata. So he's the firstborn, he'll become king. So, no, you can't marry my daughter. Sorry. And very disappointed, Santana went back to the palace and he was feeling sad and blue. Couldn't marry Satyavati. He couldn't even attend to his kingly duties properly. And his son, Devavrata, inquired, why is my father like this? And he found out from the ministers, it's because Satyavati's father wouldn't allow your father to marry her. So he went to the father and pleaded, please allow your daughter to marry my son. He said, no, because my daughter's son will become king, and you're to become the king, you're the firstborn son. He said, okay, take a vow. This was one of his two vows. I won't become king. And so now can your daughter marry my father? And he said, no. Because if you get married and have a son first, then your son becomes king. He said, very well, I won't become married. I take the vow. I won't become married. So then the fisherman said, very well, your father can marry my daughter. So Satyavati was married to Santanu. And Bhishma Dev was the first son of Santanu, and then there were sons born of Satyavati. And Santanu. And their two names were Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. Are you five paying attention, or you just look like you're not paying attention? Paying attention. Okay, what were the two sons' names? Two sons of Santanu. Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. You weren't paying attention. Just looked like you were. Okay. Chitrangada was the older brother, and the younger brother's name was Vichitravirya. So Chitrangada was to become king. And there's always a problem that there's a Gandharva of the same name, Chitrangada. So the Gandharva came before the king, Chitrangada, and said, you're an imposter. I'm the real Chitrangada, and I challenge you to a fight. May the real Chitrangada win. The Gandharva won. And Chitrangada was killed. So that left Vichitravirya as the king. And as fate would have it, before Vichitravirya had a son, he had two co-wives, but he had no son, and he died. So Satyavati was in big anxiety. It's a long story. Long story. So, Bhishma Dev, Bhishma Dev made the arrangement for Vichitravirya to marry. They were three sisters of one king in south of India. And their names are Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika. Amba, the elder of the three daughters, had already given her heart to Shalva to become her queen, or his queen. But when Bhishma Dev brought the three sisters back to the royal capital, she then informed Bhishma, I can't marry your brother Vichitravirya, because I've already given my heart to another man. So he said, very well, you go back. You can marry, your two sisters can marry Vichitravirya. But when she went back, Shalva said, no, I can't marry you. Although we had this arrangement between us, another man has touched you. So, I'm sorry, I can't marry you. So Amba said, you can go back to your father. But see, my father won't take me back into the home either after all of this. This is, what am I going to do? So she got in, she had this spirit of wanting to get back at Bhishma Dev for spoiling her life. It's a long story. Very long story. It got to the point where Parashuram, who was a military instructor, remember when he was in the forest? Parashuram and it was Parashuram, Vashishta, and Ganga had all given instructions to Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev learned the art of fighting from Parashuram. Who could be a better teacher for the art of fighting than Parashuram? So Parashuram came and said, he challenged Bhishma. You marry this girl or fight me. And he said to Parashuram, I've taken a vow. I will not marry. So I can't, you're asking me to break a vow? That's not a religious principle. I can't follow that, so we'll fight. Bhishma Dev was such a valiant, this is important in this picture. Bhishma Dev, because he was a Vasu, so powerful. Even Parashuram couldn't defeat him. They fought for nearly a month, something like 28 days. They rested at night, but it was during the day, it was fighting intensely. Parashuram couldn't defeat him. One day, at the end of the 28th day, he heard a voice from the sky saying, drop your weapons, he's a Vasu, you won't be able to defeat him. So powerful. So the next morning, Parashuram dropped his weapons. Bhishma Dev came and fell at his feet. You're my guru. I couldn't defeat you. But you can't defeat me, so now it's over. The battle is over. Showing two things. Bhishma Dev wouldn't depart from his vow. Even in the face of fighting Parashuram, he wouldn't depart from his vow. And he was so powerful. That's Bhishma Dev. And when the Pandavas were born, and Pandu died before they became mature, Grandfather Bhishma acted like the father of the five brothers, the Pandavas. That's why he's called Grandfather Bhishma. Because he took care of them like his own children or grandchildren. Although he was never married, he took care of them like that. So they, the Pandavas, regarded Grandfather Bhishma as so dear to them. And Grandfather Bhishma regarded his grandchildren as so dear to him. Bond of affection. But when the Kurukshetra battle was to begin, because Bhishma Dev, by religious principle, he was being maintained by the Kauravas, so then he was obliged by principle of Dharma to fight the side of those who were maintaining him, the Kauravas. And the other side was the Pandavas. So Bhishma Dev became the commander-in-chief, you know, the topmost general of all the Kaurava army. But he wasn't fighting with his full capacity because on the other side were his beloved grandchildren, the Pandavas. Just like Arjuna didn't want to fight because Grandfather Bhishma was on the other side. Grandfather Bhishma didn't want to fight because Arjuna was on the other side. So one evening, Duryodhana called Grandfather Bhishma. What are you doing? You're not fighting with your full capacity. You have so much affection for the Pandavas. you're not doing your job. You're a commander in chief. Get out there and let them have it. Destroy them. He was giving him a challenge, a chivalrous challenge. So Grandfather Bhishma said, very well. Here's 5 arrows. You keep them safely tonight. In the morning when you come to pay your respects, give me those 5 arrows, and with these 5 arrows I will destroy all 5 Pandavas tomorrow. So Duryodhana was very happy. Then do you know what happened? Do you know what happened? Okay, listen carefully. Krishna is in the heart of every living being. So he knew what had the discussion that had taken place between Duryodhana and Grandfather Bhishma. So he said to Arjuna, Arjuna, do you remember long ago when Duryodhana made you a promise? You protected him. There was a long story. There was a host of Gandharvas, and Duryodhana came along with his army and told the Gandharvas to get out of here. This is my kingdom. There was a fight, and Duryodhana was terribly defeated. And Arjuna intervened and protected Duryodhana, saved his life. So Duryodhana said, I'm completely indebted to you. Take one benediction from me, whatever you like. Arjuna said, I don't need anything. I'm very contented. Maybe someday I'll ask. Arjuna, do you remember that? Duryodhana made you a promise like that. Arjuna said, yes, I remember. Go tonight. Go right now to Duryodhana's tent. Remind him that he made you this promise. And then when he asks you, what would you like? You ask him for 5 arrows. Don't worry, just go do that. So Arjuna just went and did that. And when he asked, he reminded Duryodhana of that promise. Duryodhana said, what would you like? Would you like the kingdom without a fight? I'll give it to you. And Arjuna said, no, I don't want the kingdom without a fight. I just want those 5 arrows. Grandfather Bhishma gave you 5 arrows, right? Could I have those 5 arrows? So, the Kshatriya keeps his word. I gave a promise. So he gave the arrows to Arjuna. And Arjuna went back and took rest in his tent. Next morning, Duryodhana came to see Grandfather Bhishma. And Grandfather Bhishma said, where are those 5 arrows? And Duryodhana said, oh, last night, after I left you, Arjuna came to my tent and he asked for the 5 arrows, so I don't have them anymore. So Grandfather Bhishma said, Krishna has made me break my promise. I who never break my promise, I vowed that with those 5 arrows I would destroy the Pandavas. And now I've broken my promise by Krishna's trick. I'm going to make Krishna break his promise. And I'll do it in such a way that Krishna will have to place his protecting of his devotee, his quality of bhakta vatsala, above the kshatriya principle that he'll never break his vow. I'll make him break his vow. Because Krishna will place protecting his devotee even above that. So that same day, Grandfather Bhishma fought so intently. He was just going after Arjuna with all of his force of a vasu, very powerful. And although Arjuna was practically invincible because he had Krishna on his side, Arjuna was getting wasted. So Bhishma was firing arrows at Arjuna. And Krishna got in the way and was taking the arrows in his chest. And Arjuna was feeling terrible. My beloved, worshipful Krishna is being hit by arrows that are intended for me. But Krishna was thinking, this is wonderful. I'm receiving the love of grandfather Bhishma in the form of these arrows. And it got so intense that the chariot of Arjuna broke and the wheel came off and the wheel broke. And Bhishma, as Arjuna was trying to put his chariot back in shape, Bhishma was ready to fire arrows and destroy Arjuna. So as you see, Krishna picked up the chariot wheel from Arjuna's chariot and started charging at Bhishma with his arm raised, ready to smash him with the chariot wheel, because Krishna promised he wouldn't fight. Krishna broke his promise, ready to fight, to protect his devotee, because he's Bhaktivatsala. Nothing is more important to Krishna than his affection for his devotee. He places that first priority. So Krishna broke his promise. You see, Arjuna's got his arm around Krishna's waist and around his leg and trying to stop Krishna. Don't smash Bhishma. And Bhishma is seeing with great meditation on the face of Krishna with the beads of perspiration coming down his forehead and his body ashen in color by the dust raised by the hooves and his upper garment. Behind him, going in the wind as Krishna's running full force. So Bhishma dropped his weapons. And just as this happened, the conch shell sounded, marking the end of the day. Fighting was to stop. So it's a wonderful pastime where Krishna is exhibiting, for the satisfaction of Bhishma Dev, his quality of Bhaktivatsala. He would rather break his promise than and protect his devotee than keep his promise and leave his devotee in some danger. Because that's Krishna's foremost quality. Now there's another pastime, but it's in reverse, where Krishna is upholding the promise of Narada Muni. Krishna upholds the promise of Narada Muni because he's Bhaktivatsala. So in this, you know the Damodara Leela? Krishna's got the rope tied around his waist. You all know that. The Damodara Leela. Yes? Yes, no, or maybe. Yes, okay. Okay. So, who are these two? Who are these two? The sons of Kuvera, right? What are their names? Nava Kuvera and Manigriva? Remember that? What happened before they became trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj? They were sons of Kuvera, you know?
Yeah.
They were sons of Kuvera. Yeah, they were drunk. Narada came to visit his friend. Okay, you get the basic idea. They were so intoxicated, they were standing naked in front of Narada. Shameless, because they were not just intoxicated with something they drunk, but they were intoxicated with pride. We're the sons of Kuvera. He's the richest. He's the treasure of heaven. And we're his sons. And he's very dear to Lord Shiva. And we're his sons. They're just proud of the qualification of their father, Kuvera, another demigod, treasurer. So Narada considered, poor fellows. They're so proud. What can be done to help them? He wasn't insulted by their indignity. He was feeling sorry for them and thinking, what can I do to help them? And he thought, they're proud of all their wealth. And if they were deprived of their wealth, then they could be happy. They could be, their pride would be gone. So he decided, best if they're no longer the sons of Kuvera, at least for some time, for a long duration of time. And if they want to stand naked, they can stand as trees. Trees just stand naked. So he cursed them to become trees. But then he gave a benediction. He said, you'll become trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. You'll stand there for hundreds of years. And when the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, comes, he'll deliver you. And then you'll be released from this curse. So when Mother Jasoda bound Krishna with the grinding mortar, he looked at the trees and thought, Narada made a promise, and I have to uphold the promise of my devotee, Narada. So I'll deliver the two trees. And the sons of Kuvera were released from the trees when the trees were knocked over because of Krishna's quality of bhakta-vatsala, very kind and affectionate to his devotees. In the Damodar Leela, you like the Damodar Leela, huh? In the Damodar Leela, Krishna knew that the residents of Vrindavan, they feel great separation from him whenever he is apart from them. The coward boys, they're very happy all day long, and the cows, because Krishna's with them. But when the end of the day comes and Krishna comes back to Nandagram, the cows go to the goshal, and the coward boys go back to their home, but they don't want to be in the goshal or back to their home. They want to be with Krishna. So the cows are in the goshal, the place for caring for the cows, mooing all night long. Moo. We want to be with Krishna. Moo. They can't sleep at all. And the cowherd boys tossing and turning, they can't wait till the next morning when they come. And all day long, the residents of Vrindavan, they're without Krishna. But when Krishna comes back, it's like life comes back into their body and they're so happy to be with Krishna again. So Krishna knows that they have this affection for him. So he arranged Govardhan Leela so that uninterruptedly all the residents of Vrindavan could be with him for 7 days straight. Even all night long they didn't sleep. They didn't eat. They didn't drink. They didn't think of anything except being with Krishna. So Krishna has performed this leela. One of the reasons is his quality of bhakta-vatsala. He was reciprocating with the intense love of the residents of Vrindavan. Whoops, another painting. Krishna's Govardhan Leela. Another feature of Krishna in the Govardhan Leela is Krishna wanted to curb the pride of Indra. Because Krishna is bhakta-vatsala. He doesn't like pride in the hearts of his devotees. So he arranged the Govardhan Leela so that then as part of Krishna's kindness, sometimes things may happen to us that serve to curb our pride. And that's Krishna's kindness upon his devotee. He also gave an opportunity for Surabhi to associate and Airavata, the elephant of Indra, who gave a nice abhishek with celestial water that he carried with him from the heavenly planets. Krishna is very, very kind. This is another situation where Krishna showed Lord Brahma the unlimited feature of Krishna's prowess and power and his mystic capacity. You know that leela also? Yes? No? Lord Brahma came from Brahmaloka to Vrindavan and he wanted to see Krishna's pastimes. So he was flying on his, what is the vimana that he rides on? The carrier that he rides on? swan. Lord Brahma's carrier is a swan. Vishnu's carrier is Garuda. Brahma's carrier is a swan. He was flying over Vrindavan when he saw the pastime of Krishna killing the Agasura demon, the big serpent. And the cowherd boys entered into the mouth of the serpent. And Krishna entered into the mouth of the serpent that expanded his body bigger, 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 suffocated Agasura, and his soul left through the roof of his head. His mouth opened, and all the cowherd boys went walking out of the mouth of Agasura. And the soul of Agasura hovered in the air for some moments, and then merged into Krishna's body, like Shishupal. And Brahma witnessed all of that. And he started pondering, is there any limit to the powers of Krishna? I'm very powerful. I have so many mystic powers. Maybe I'll match some of my mystic powers against Krishna's mystic powers. And so Krishna will show the limit of his mystic powers. So that's what this is. He took the calves and the cowherd boys, put them in the cave. They came back and there were the calves and the cowherd boys having lunch with Krishna. So he went back and looked in the cave, and they were in the cave. So he went back to where they were having lunch, and he saw the cowherd boys. And then all of a sudden the cowherd boys, sitting with Krishna having lunch, they all manifested as forms of Lord Narayan. While Lord Brahma looked on, all the calves and the cowherd boys, tending them, immediately appeared to have complexions the color of bluish rain clouds and to be dressed in yellow silken garments. Each one of the calves and each one of the cowherd boys were forms of Narayan. And then surrounding each one of the forms of Narayan were the personified Vedas, singing the Vedas in glorification of Lord Narayan. And then in a moment they all just disappeared, and all that Brahma could see was Krishna alone, standing with his left hand raised with some of his lunch in his hand, a lump of yogurt and some fruit, because he eats with his right hand, holding with his left hand, looking with unblinking eyes at Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma offered beautiful prayers in glorification of Lord Krishna as Bhaktivatsala, one who was just showing kindness to Lord Brahma in this way, the unlimited feature of Krishna's mystic powers, purifying the heart completely of Lord Brahma. When Brahma finished his prayers, what did Krishna say? He didn't say anything. He remained completely silent. Because Krishna was thinking, enough of this hearing Brahma's prayers, I'm going to go back and have lunch with the cowherd boys. Because Krishna is interested in the affection of his devotees. He's Bhaktivatsala. It's not that Brahma doesn't have affection, but the affection of the cowherd boys is so much more intimate. Brahma circumambulated him 3 times and went back to Brahmaloka, and Krishna went and finished his lunch. And when Krishna sat down to finish his lunch with the cowherd boys, they said, oh, Krishna, you're so much attached to us, you can't be away from us for a moment. Come, finish your lunch. Like that. Because Krishna had covered them with his yogamaya potency, they hadn't realized all of what had transpired with Lord Brahma. His mystic power is unlimited. So this is Krishna's quality. Bhaktivatsala. Just as he delivered the message of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, not only for the benefit of Arjuna, but for the benefit of us, because he's Bhaktivatsala. When Arjuna, that verse toward the very beginning, when Yudhisthira is speaking, how is our Lord Krishna in Dwarka, surrounded by all of his friends and devotees, O Govinda, Brahmanya, Bhaktivatsala. When Arjuna replies, Krishna's gone. How unfortunate. He's he's choked up with emotion. He can barely speak, and he's describing and thinking of the many very wonderful ways which Krishna gave protection to him and all the his brothers. And thinking and thinking on the pastimes of Krishna, he began to remember the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. And then he started feeling lively again and understanding the kindness of Krishna was that he gave these nice instructions so that we can continuously think of him. Even in his physical absence, we can always think of him. Krishna is very kind. So, last slide, and of course very famous, is Krishna showing kindness to the gopis by enjoying with them in rasa dance. But the gopis are but expansions of Srimati Radharani, who is but his own internal potency, though the rasa lila is but Krishna enjoying with his own internal potency. And all of Krishna's pastimes take place through the agency of Krishna's internal potency. But it's through the internal potency that we have access to serving Krishna and experience that quality of Krishna's kindness. Okay, the end. Okay, so you guys ready for the exam? What's the first question, the first answer? What's the meaning of Bhakta Vatsala? Can you remember? Please say. I couldn't hear you. He's very affectionate to his devotees. Is that what you said? Something like that. What does Govinda mean? Govinda? Huh? Yes, but what does it mean? Govinda means, there's a meaning of the word go. What does go mean? Cow. Moo. Like Gopal. Krishna's name is Gopal. He's Pala. He's the protector of protector of cows. Gopal, the cowherd boy. And Govinda, Govinda means one who gives pleasure to the cows and the senses. Govinda. That's the meaning. And Brahmanya, one who gives protection to the brahmanas. Very affectionate and gives protection to the brahmanas. The brahmanas are very dear to Krishna. So those of you that recited that verse from the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I don't need you to recite it again, but in that verse it gives three reasons why Krishna appears. Pritranaya sadhuna means? Huh? You may need a microphone or you may need to speak a little louder. Or I need to get a hearing aid, maybe one of those three.
He hears the miscreants.
Pritranaya sadhuna, that's the wrong order. That's vina. Oh, vichu, excuse me. Vina shaya traduskritam. He admonishes or he. Lest the miscreants have it, the demons. Diminishes the influence of the miscreants, gives protection to the devotee. Pritranaya sadhu. Sadhu means? Saintly person. Right? Sadhu. He gives protection to the sadhus. Annihilates the miscreants. And dharma, sangsthapanartaya. What does that mean? Dharma. What does dharma mean? Dharma. Go ahead, help him. Dharma.
Oh,
your religion. Dharma sangstha. He reestablishes sangstha. Reestablishes Dharma. When Dharma becomes broken, he reestablishes Dharma. Does those three. Protects the devotees, annihilates the miscreants, and reestablishes the principles of Dharma. But he can do those through others, so he comes to reciprocate the love of his devotees. And those that aren't yet his devotees, or like us, we've forgot that we're Krishna's devotees, he performs wonderful pastimes to attract our hearts back to him. Okay. I can make some more questions, but you did pretty well. Who is Bhishma Dev's mother and father? Ganga was his mother. And father? Santanu. And he had two brothers, Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. They had a different mother whose name was Satyavati. Okay. And grandfather Bhishma helped to raise the Pandavas. So he was very affectionate to the Pandavas. He actually wanted the Pandavas to be victorious. But for the Pandavas to be victorious, they had to defeat Bhishma. They went and asked. Yudhisthira went and asked Bhishma Dev, how are we going to be victorious? How are we going to defeat you? So he told them, here's how you can defeat me. It's a long story. But he gave them, he was so partial to the Pandavas and so completely honest. He gave them exactly the method of defeating him. Sikandi, it's a long story. Very complicated story. And grandfather Bhishma wouldn't fight in the presence of Shikhandi. So he was defeated. Because he wanted the Pandavas to be victorious. In fact, when he's lying on his bed of arrows and the Pandavas all came, they knew what Bhishma Dev once wanted. So they came dressed in royal attire, the crown, and royal robes. And Bhishma Dev was so happy. Even he's lying on the bed of arrows. And he gave thorough instructions to Yudhisthira how to rule, because he had trained them since children. Here is how a good ruler rules. Yudhisthira was ready. Bhishma Dev left. Any comments or questions from the adults now, I guess? Anyway.
And I just have a comment that it was very nice to connect the story behind Bhishma Dev. Like, we heard it, put in the parts, and you connected very well with all the starting from.
There's much more detail. I could be here for 2 hours and come up with detail.
Yeah, but there's still many things that was not. Heard before, and that we got connected with those things. And the second point was that in the Govardhan Leela, that I never heard that connection, that all the cowherd boys and the cows were always looking after Krishna, and they want to spend more and more time, and that's why he
uninterrupted time.
Uninterrupted time, and that is why he arranged that Leela. So that was
one of the reasons.
One of the reasons.
The other was curb the pride of Indra.
Right. So that reasoning was very good to know.
Yes.
I'm just curious, but why? So, like, Krishna was an eighth child.
Yeah.
And then Ganga, she threw away all the children of the eighth
part. Yeah.
Is there like a reason it's always eight? Or
there's eight buses.
What?
There's eight there's eight Vasus. And what happened? Yeah. Relation to Vasishtha's cow, there were eight Vasus. One of those eight Vasus, along with his, because they were very powerful, they were traveling about here and there, and they came upon Vasishtha's cow. And they made a plan to steal Vasishtha's cow. The person, because the wife of one of the Vasus, whose name I can't remember right now, said, "Oh, I want the cow." He said, "Okay, I'll get you the cow." They stole Vasishtha's cow. So Vasishtha cursed them that they would die and become, take birth on earth. He said that, but they would return to their position as Vasus immediately after they were born, except the one who actually did the stealing of the cow. And his name was D-H-O, Dho. So that Dho, Vasu named Dho, became Bhishma. As soon as they were born, they descended to earth, took birth as sons of Ganga and Santanu. One, as soon as they were born, drowned in the river, went back to their position as Vasus. And the eighth one was Dho, who stayed for some time, long time, on earth as Bhishma. That's a different situation altogether. That's different. Yeah, that's a whole. You want to hear that story? It's another long one. It's not to do with Vasus. It has to do with Lord Brahma had he gave birth to first the four Kumaras. He requested the four Kumaras to assist him in creating Praja. They said, "No thanks, Dad, we want to remain Brahmachari." And so Lord Shiva appeared from his brow. Lord Shiva expanded as Rudras. Lord Brahma said, "Just sit and meditate, please. You're creating too much disturbance." And then Lord Brahma created Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa at once, I mean husband and wife, to be the first Manu, and then seven sages, and amongst the seven sages one was Marichi, not the Marichi from Ramayana, another Marichi. And the sons of Marichi, six in number, when Lord Brahma gave birth to a daughter and became attracted to his own daughter, the six sons of Marichi laughed at Lord Brahma. I mean, out loud, they laughed at Lord Brahma. They were then cursed that they would have to take birth as, as sons of a demon. So the demon that they became the sons of were Kalanemi, sons of Kalanemi, and they, the sons of Kalanemi, went to try to become immortal, like Hiranyakashipu had tried to become immortal. They went to undergo austerities. And they received a curse. You'll have to take birth. They're sons of demons. You'll have to take birth and be killed immediately after your birth for trying to become immortal like this. I forget who made the curse. It might have been Rani Kashyapu. Someone made a curse. So those six sons were the sons of Kalanemi. Is this right? Sons of Kalanemi. So when Devaki gave birth to the first six sons, they're the sons of Kalanemi. The seventh son was Balaram. And then Krishna called for Yogamaya and said, Yogamaya, I have some service for you. And she said, yes, yes, some service. The service was to transfer the child in the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. Balaram then became known as the son of Rohini, Rohini Nandana, Balaram. And everyone thought, except Devaki, that she had had a miscarriage. The seventh child had a miscarriage. And then the eighth child was Krishna. So completely different than the Vasus and Bhishma. Any other? Yes. Do they also what?
They also stay in the
heavenly realm. Heavenly realm. Like when the demigods were told by Krishna to take birth on earth. It's not that there was a sign outside their door saying, out to lunch. Go on to earth for a little while, come back, see when I come back later. The demigods can expand for purposes of service to Krishna. And this whole situation was also a service to Krishna, arranged because Bhishma Dev was pure, devotee, unalloyed devotee. Just his nature. Hare Krishna. Okay, well, I guess that's it. Thank you very much. You five boys did pretty well. I didn't get an A, but you did pretty well. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Con eso, hoy más